There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another episode of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is highly animated. And joining me, as always, is Lee.
Hello. I am highly animated. I'm like a little squirrel.
On caffeine, yes.
But yes, I'm really good. I want to bring up something really quick, which is safety and security.
Oh,
it's kind of a serious topic, I know. We were just saying squirrel, but you know, Dragon Con has made a lot of things moving forward. You know, we have the gotta wear your badge so you can get between the hotels. A hotel key will only get you into that hotel. If you do not have a Dragon Con badge, you're not getting from the Hyatt to the Marriott many, many nights, or the Marriott to the Hilton, or in the Sheraton or anything else. So get your badge, wear your badge. But the other thing is security, you know, and we all say, you know, we're a big group that really promotes the got your back. We have a, you know, cosplay is not consent policy. But if there is something that happens, and this could happen, we do have a Dragon Con security line. This is a straight landline. It goes to one of the Dragon Con offices that is always manned. And this number is 404-586-6316. No matter what hotel you're in, no matter what's going on, that line always has somebody on it. So you can just call it on your cell phone. Again, that's 404-586-6316. So they will try to make, you know, they will get to you. They will make sure you're safe. They'll talk to you about any other issues. This is also where we can talk to you if you want to file a police complaint, which we, you know, again, 99.9% of our people are there to have fun just like you, but there is a little bit that might not be. So we want to be prepared for that. The other thing is that there is a Marriott only line. Now this is only if you're in the Marriott, and this goes to a Marriott number. Now that landline, the one I just talked about, the 404 number, is a landline. You can't text it. You got to call it. This one you can text or phone, and it is Marriott only, but it is 678-806-8708. And I don't want to say that we're not going to have fun at Dragon Con. We are going to have fun. And I don't want to say that you're going to need these lines. But you know what? If you do need them, I'd rather everybody had them than not. Let's all just be prepared. Anybody listening, just remember, don't be that guy, that gal, whatever. And that's kind of my serious point for today. But otherwise, you know, we haven't had any new guests announced yet. I think Regina would probably cry a lot if she had to move some other things around. What else, John?
I don't know. You want to repeat those numbers one more time, though?
I will. The Dragon Con security line, and this is for any hotel, is 404-586-6316. And that one only takes phone calls. But the Marriott line, if you're in the Marriott and need help, is 678-806-8708, and that is text and phone, so you can do either one there.
All right, that sounds great. That's
I want to say that, yes, and so that's good. So I know it's a lot, you know, it's kind of a bummer to start on, but it's important, and I want to make sure we get it out there. And so
going to be taking calls even Saturday morning when I might be watching my cartoons or something?
They will be, you know what? They're going to have those numbers are 24 hours. Oh, so okay. You're watching your cartoons on Saturday morning. You're watching your cartoons through old YouTube videos, or you're in our animation track watching them and something happens as you're trying to get there. They're going to be doing it then.
Oh, really?
And you know what?
What?
Yeah. Did you know we had an animation track and it's different than the anime track?
Is it really?
It is very different. And you know who can explain the difference? Because I don't know anything.
I don't know who. Ooh, Lee,
we got her.
Me.
Her name is Carrie, and she's a first-time director. Come on in, Carrie.
Jerry. She's on mute. Uh-oh. She needs some voice actor work.
She's getting the voice actor, the best voice actor for her voice. Carrie. There. Oh. Here she is. See, she found the right voice actor. She's breathing now.
Oh.
Amy. What?
Oh, am I there?
Oh, there you're here.
She's not in the room, and now she has the right voice actor. Hey, Gary.
Hi. So, how are you guys?
Okay.
Good. And you're a first-time director.
I am.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just noticed your text. Did you take care of that or no?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I
okay,
did.
Good.
I'm sorry about that.
Timing is everything around here.
Heaven forbid we read those text messages, John. But yes, it's very so. Yeah, congratulations on being a track director.
Thank you.
Yes, I met Carrie yesterday for the first time. She was at the track directors meeting, and she had this look of utter and complete panic. Just like every other track director, so she'll be fine. Don't worry about it. All the rest of us were just like, really? A little less than 2 weeks? Really? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Carrie, I want to get in. How did you get started in Dragon Con? And how did you get interested in the animation track and become the director?
And then also explain what the animation track actually is.
Yeah. Okay. The first thing I'll do is explain what the animation track actually is. The animation track itself is really everything about animation, from kids animation to adult animation to stop motion animation. Literally, if it's a cartoon or a drawing or a puppet that moves that uses animators, we're talking about it. So we are really excited about all the sort of stuff that we have on. A lot of nostalgia is definitely in our track. Yay. And we're super
excited about that. We like nostalgia because we're old. That's good. That's fine. We totally admit that's why we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As far as how I got started at Dragon Con, I will tell you the first time I went to Dragon Con was probably in 2005 or 2006. And I had no idea what it was. And I just decided I'm going to go in with, I was in a film class and we had to do a short documentary on something. And I was like, well, I'm going to do something on Dragon Con. So I got a day ticket and I just went to Dragon Con and I started filming and I did this little documentary on it. I have no idea what that is, but it was definitely something that it was an experience. Like I had literally had no idea what I was walking into.
Wow.
So I was just like, well, let's do a movie about a con. And I'm thinking, oh, it's like, you know, a little con that's in a hallway or something. And I was really wrong.
Yeah.
So 2006, we would have been in what? Just the three big ones.
Yeah, it was just the three big ones.
Yeah, the Hyatt, the Marriott, and the Hilton. We hadn't expanded yet. Yep.
Yeah, and at that point, I was so just overwhelmed. I didn't go back to Dragon Con for a couple of years just because I was like, I don't think I can ever do that again. And then I did. I went another year for a couple panels that my friends and I, my husband and I were presenting. And somehow I got a hold of the past animation director, Jess. And Jess Merriman is an amazing person. She's organization, just sort of personified. And she also runs MomoCon.
Mm-hmm.
So I started hanging out with her. We started talking about all sorts of different things. And eventually one day, she came up to me and said, hey, Carrie, I have a thing that I need to ask you. And I was like, sure, what is it? Shoot. And she said, I need you to take care of the animation track at Dragon Con because I have to do something else. And I was like, oh, that shouldn't be hard. Yeah, I can, you know, at MomoCon, I'm the director of moderators. So I make sure that everybody is up to snuff on, you know, asking their questions, knowing how to deal with or work with celebrities, all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, this shouldn't be hard. I mean, I can plan stuff. And I go into it, and it's just a whole nother world. So Dragon Con, my relationship with Dragon Con is just me really underselling it and thinking it's going to be something super simple, and it never is.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's going to be easy. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it's way more complicated than I thought it'd be, but it's also, like, every time I've been in Dragon Con, I always feel like, no matter what I do, I'm always thrown in the deep end. Mm-hmm. But every single time I come out with new friends or new experiences or have met amazing people, and it's something I'm just really, really stoked to be a part of, especially as the animation director, because I've been working on, trying to build up the animation community here in Atlanta. Because I actually went to school for animation. I am an animator. I work on comics and all sorts of stuff. So, Did I answer everything?
I think so. So that's okay. Cool. And okay. So what kind of, so you're an animator and you said animation is going to do everything from, old stuff to new stuff. So What are some of the panels? Well, John, do you have another question before I
go? No, you're good. Keep going.
So what are some of the panels you're really looking forward to this year? Because, I'm just hoping you have something like a Scooby-Doo retrospective of all the different years of Scooby-Doo and all the different versions. But I don't know what you're – yeah, so just curious.
Most of the stuff that we have is more like 90s, 80s based. So we've got a lot of stuff on – there's a panel, which is a 90s cartoon showcase. Which will be showing stuff like Gargoyles and Batman Beyond and God knows what. Or Batman, the animated series.
That was such a great series. I love it. Paul Dini. I love that show.
Yeah, me too. It's one of my favorites. And then we're also going to be doing a, hangover. I think it's Saturday morning or Sunday morning hangover cure, which is basically us just sticking cartoons in early in the morning so people can sort of feel a little bit better, maybe eat some cereal or something.
Yeah, just start the day off slowly a little.
Exactly.
I remember how it was when you used to go get up and watch cartoons. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we're going to do some of our more interesting stuff on like workshops. We're going to have we have a couple animators that have worked on Archer, that have worked at Bento Box on all sorts of amazing things. A lot of local animators coming in. So they're going to be giving you demonstrations of how to work in Toon Boom, which is an animation program. They're going to be talking about how to actually break into animation. So if there's anybody out there who's interested in becoming an animator, on Saturday at 10 a.m., we have a Breaking into Animation panel, which is going to have a lot of local people who work on Archer, Squidbillies, tons of Adult Swim stuff since we're located here and all that sort of things. We also have one about pitching animation, one about character design. So if we're trying to kind of bring the workshops in. So a lot of people right now are very interested in becoming animators or working in the animation industry or just knowing what it's like and what it goes into it. So we're kind of trying to focus some of that on there. And then we also have our mainline stuff is like voice acting with the pros, which we're doing twice.
Oh, cool.
So that's going to happen on Friday at 4 and Sunday at 5:30. And we have like the voice actor for Zim, like Invader Zim. And then Ricky Simmons, who's also worked on Invader Zim. And then we have Will Friedle. I think I said that right. Who's done Lion-O from Lion-O from the new Thundercats, and then we have he also did Terry McGinnis in Batman Beyond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we also have the voice actor for Squidward, and a couple people from another person from Rooster Teeth, who worked in the Ruby series, and just all sorts of really cool people.
That is really neat. I think.
Yeah.
I hate SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm sorry. I think I've said this before. I absolutely cannot stand it. But that's fine. Yeah. Other people love it. It's fine. Everybody loves what they love.
It took me a while to get into it. It really did.
But one of the things I've seen a lot in animation, and I think it's, we've got 100 million channels or whatever it is. One of the things I've seen is we've kind of had a resurgence of animation in maybe the past 5-10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen some really amazing stuff. I love We Bare Bears. I mean, that is so dang cute.
Yeah.
And then there's some stuff that, I think you're just, it's kind of interesting because I have Boomerang and I have a nephew and a niece, and they will watch Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Because they like Scooby just like I like Scooby. And it doesn't matter if it's old Scooby or new Scooby. Now, they don't know who all the guest stars are. Like, who is Sonny and Cher?
Yeah.
They don't have any of that. But they do like that it's kind of funny and all of and new Scooby now and all of that. So it's always great, you know, and it's fun. And just I'm curious because you said you're an animator. What are the reasons behind that resurgence? Why are we all getting new animation now?
In my own,
in your opinion, yes, right.
In
all
my
this
own
is in our opinion, right?
I think a lot of it is due to sort of the millennial base growing up. Millennials are very special because we grew up in an era where cartoons were never not accessible.
Yeah,
like Cartoon Network was constantly on. We had Nickelodeon. If we wanted to watch a cartoon or animated series at any given point, there was always something on. And I think with millennials, it sort of changes the dynamic because millennials don't see animation as, oh, it's just for kids. We see it as a medium because that's all we've, you know, grown up with it as. It's not just for kids.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up in the era of Toonami and Adult Swim, which sort of broke the boundaries of saying, hey, you know, Toonami is for your like your tweens and teen audiences and even some of your adults. And then you get into Adult Swim, which is completely for your older teens and adults. And we've never had anything like that before. And so I think with the resurgence of millennials and people seeing this as wait, you know, this is actually a medium that you can use to tell any story, not just one. And especially with the popularity of anime coming over in like the early 2000s, mid 90s, you're just seeing a lot more animation coming forward because it's more readily accepted and really merchandising, easily sellable to the new generation of 20 year olds.
Well, I think something, again, in my opinion, too, along with that, is that for some of us who grew up on it, you know, we have kids now or our kids are growing up. And, you know, John has one younger than I do. And one of the things I'm seeing now is like when I watch Powerpuff Girls with my niece and nephew, I see something very different than they do. You know,
yeah.
I see it on a different level and it's wonderful. I mean, and that's the great thing, too. I think so many of the animators and the voice actors and other people kind of grew up with that Bugs Bunny thing, you know, the Bugs Bunny and others where there were very much, I remember my dad watching Bugs Bunny with me and laughing at jokes that I didn't get.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of those animators are like, yeah, I remember that, you know, and now I want to do that for people. So I think that's fun too. I love that part.
Yeah. I think that's very true because I mean, even going back as far as like the 1920s, animation wasn't it wasn't meant for kids when it first came out. In fact, it was more like, do you remember like in the early 2000s or whatever, when they just introduced 3D and they were like, you know, having things come out at you and all that sort of stuff. In the 1920s, 1930s, that was what animation was.
Mm-hmm.
The very first animated piece that was done by, it was called Gertie the Dinosaur. And the whole point of it was that this guy named, I believe it was Wyndham McGay. And my teacher's probably like, oh my God, Carrie, why don't you remember this? I think it was Wyndham McGay who basically made this like showpiece saying, you know, one of his friends was like, you can't at all turn a drawing into something that moves. And Wyndham McGay was like, want to bet? I'll do it. And
watch me.
So he did this thing called Gertie the Dinosaur, where he came out on stage. The whole stick was he would come out on stage and then he would sort of disappear into the film. And he would tell Gertie to do this or that. And his little animated self would show up on screen. And for years, people were like, oh, my God, this is actually real. How did he do this? Like they literally thought the dinosaur might be real.
Huh.
I'm not saying that they were naive or stupid or anything.
No, but it was something very new. Like,
yeah, it was something incredibly new. So it kind of became magic in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that when you come in with animation at that point, it wasn't for kids. It was all about spectacle. I mean, there's like Mickey Mouse, the first Mickey Mouse cartoons. Mickey's a jerk. Like, he's a total jerk. I want to use like more colorful language, but I'm not.
But we're trying to be good. We're trying to keep this for the general family here.
Yeah, he's just a jerk. So, and a lot of people, like, over the years, he's really mellowed out. And the reason why he was a jerk in the first place was because it's supposed to be, it wasn't meant to be anything that was for general audiences. It was supposed to be something that would make adults laugh because adults were the ones going to cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, especially when in the era of TV, that's when you see the shift of going from animation is for anybody to animation is specifically only for kids.
Yeah. So, and it still never was. So
yeah. And it's still never was. I agree. Yeah. But I'm really excited about it because I love that there's so much coming out. And, you know, as animation goes on, I'm seeing especially stuff coming out now from millennial crowd. So you've got We Bare Bears, Steven Universe, you know, the regular show. These are all created by millennials who enjoy really good animation, but also enjoy really good storytelling.
Well, and then you of course have the Pixar. I mean, I saw The Good Dinosaur, not one of Pixar's best, not a bad movie, not one of Pixar's best, but the scenes with the lightning bugs, the lightning bugs were real. I did. It was beautifully done. Yeah. So as we talk about this between kids and adults, how are you structuring your day, as it were, any con day, so that it's like for general families? And then at what time do you say, okay, anybody under, you know, 16, 17, you got to go now.
Usually those happen at really late at night. So I believe most of our start at either 10 or 11:30. Okay. We have like XDR, which is basically a bunch of us getting up on stage and watching YouTube videos on animation and just cracking jokes. And then we have a panel, which is called At Midnight, which is something, again, for the older crowd. We also have the ever popular hentai panel. Which is really just
and that's very late at night, we bet.
That's very late at night, and it's usually overflowing with people, and all we do is make fun of it.
And they like it, and they still come, and they still come to your panel.
It's kind of like watching the 3000
Mystery Science Mystery Science Theater
except it's with Japanese porn.
Okay.
So
your panels are like, they're listed. So unless it says mature, it's pretty much open family. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
Every one of our panelists knows that, you know, if there are children in the room, even if there aren't children in the room, you need to keep it, you know, fairly family friendly.
We do our best to keep it PG.
Exactly. So
with all that, where is the panel actually located?
All of our panels outside of our big mainline ones, like we have one that's going to be a Venture Brothers panel or Vader Zinn retrospective or Stories with George Lowe, who does Space Ghost. Mm-hmm. All of those are in, all of those are going to be in the other larger rooms. Everything else is going to be in the Dunwoody room in the Hyatt, which I believe is on the third level, lower floor. I'm trying to remember what exactly it is, but it's the Dunwoody room in the Hyatt.
Yeah, you're in the Hyatt. It's at Dunwoody is, if I'm correct, it's either the basement level or one level above, folks.
Yeah,
I cannot remember exactly. So you're either there or there. So it's not that far to find each other.
Yeah.
And Dunwoody is there. And then most of the big ones will show in the program, but they'll be in main programming.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll all be in main programming. Again, those are going to be really, I'm really excited about those because we have a great moderator and he's going to be asking really cool questions, and I'm just super excited about it. So
that'll be cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Still your turn, John.
Okay. So that's great. All right. So are there any guests besides the ones that are in your track that you're hoping to catch this year?
Oh, geez.
If you ever have time, which we know you
which
won't,
means
but
you won't,
if, maybe,
but...
maybe.
to be quite honest, At MomoCon, I met the voice of Steven Universe, and I met Cree Summer. And I don't think I can get any further than that. I guess it's Jason Isaacs is coming, if I remember. So being able to hang out with Lucius Malfoy would be kind of cool. But other than that, I'm just so stoked to even be there that anybody I do meet, I'm just going to be, you know, super excited to talk to. There's no one I'm really like, oh, let me go for a beeline for that person. I just want to make sure that I'm delivering the best track and the best panels that I possibly can. So my focus is on doing that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So do
that's
you
a, kind of a non-answer. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean,
no, you said Jason Isaacs. We're good. We're good. We'll follow that one.
Do you have a room that's just dedicated to showing cartoons all day, or is that mostly an anime type thing?
I believe it's mostly an anime. Because I was kind of dropped in at the last second, there wasn't much time for me to really plan much outside of, you know, a couple things. Next year, I'm hoping that I'll be able to do a lot more, including having, you know, dedicated workshops that are late, you know, really pushing those workshops throughout the year, and also doing, I really, really, really want to do a screening of animated short films that people submit. You would actually have the chance to see like local animators and the films that they create, or, you know, visiting animators and the stuff that they make, or, you know, Oscar nominees for that year or the past year that no one ever gets to see. I would love to do something like that.
Very cool.
So, and I've also I'm also hoping to get maybe a room to do just stream, you know, cartoons all day.
Yay, cartoons!
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, John, so, it's time to embarrass me.
Oh, okay. All right. So
he doesn't know what this is, so you got to explain it.
All right. So you, at the end of these podcasts this year, we've been doing a little quiz with our guests, and you'll be competing against Lee. What we're going to do is we're going to give you, I'm going to start playing. I found the top 25 cartoon theme songs of the 80s and 90s.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
really? Of the 90s?
80s and 90s. So
I was
as soon
out of it in the 90s. Oh.
Okay, if it's anything before 1985, I'm sorry, I won't know it.
Oh good, I might have a chance.
That's okay. So this is I'll just play a random one off this 25 list. It's from YouTube, so you know, it's always someone's opinion. But if you know it, just yell your name out and we'll stop and I'll pause it and then you just tell me what you think it is.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. We'll start with this number 25, according to this person.
Oh, Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright. That's correct. you know, a lot of the themes are very direct in what they're.
Yeah, they really
especially
are.
Some of those in the later 80s that were much more of a. Not really as much about the animation as much as product placement, but okay.
Yeah, oh yeah, this was definitely product placement. All right, let me skip ahead. Like,
the My Little Pony theme is just so easy because it says right there, My Little Pony.
Well, it's better now. The new My Little Pony.
Yeah, it really is. It's way better now.
Yes, it is. They're actually, the My Little Ponies now are actually really kind of interesting.
Oh, I love them.
The ones I've got into, and I'm all of a sudden sitting there, and then I'm like, I didn't mean to sit down here and watch a whole episode of My Little Pony, but I did.
And I enjoyed it every second.
There we go. Yeah.
Yep. All right. What's the next one?
All right. So let's skip ahead here. Let's see what we got here. Here we go. Because every single thing is really two in one. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And when you add it up, you get a lot of that. Ooh, they got it.
I don't know. Oh, the Wuzzles?
I don't even know what that is.
What were those? Weren't they like fuzzy Wuzzles? Little Care Bear knockoffs?
They are a mix of, yes, exactly, Care Bear knockoffs, except what they did is they took two different animals and stuck them together and then sold you a plushie toy. So a bumblebee lion.
The bee lion
Yeah. And they all had wings. Yeah, exactly.
It was purple and pink because it had stripes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, that is weird. Okay.
Yeah, it really is.
Yuck.
We had some bizarre stuff in the 80s.
Yeah. Thank God y'all got out of that and became real people. Okay.
Hold on. Here's one that Lee will get almost immediately.
Oh, goody.
Not that one. Let's go into the next one. Hold on.
Okay.
Listen to the end of Captain Planet.
Mm-hmm. I know Captain Planet.
Yeah, we have to know.
Here we go.
Lee.
Yes.
It's Jim and the Holograms. And I'll sing the whole song if you let me. See, look, the dog even likes Jim.
Who are their rivals, though? That's what I need to know.
The Misfits.
That's right.
We are the Misfits. Our songs are better. We are the Misfits. The Misfits. And we're going to get her.
There you go. Oh.
See, I even knew all the words, John.
Well, I think that I might have beaten that into you, though, too.
You have beaten that into me. John loves that theme song for some unknown reason.
Okay, here's the next one. I
wanna be the very best. Oh, Pokemon.
Scary Pokemon.
Carrie wins that one. Nope, I had no idea. I'm
like really bad at calling my name. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine. I get what you're doing. It's fine.
All right, let's see what the next one is. It's Muppet Babies. That'll be too way obvious. Way too obvious. What the heck is this one? All right, let's see what this one is. I don't even know what it is. I'll play it. Oops. Christopher Plummer. It's narrated by Christopher Plummer.
Really?
Yeah, whatever it is. All right, here we go. No, it's that's Muppet Babies. That's the end of Muppet Babies.
That's Muppet Babies, yeah.
Be nice. It would be nice if they gave me little tags here so I could actually zip forward, but they don't. Hey, listen. All right, here we go. Look around you.
There are many things to see.
Oh, I actually now I know what it is. Okay.
God, I don't.
Is that the little gnome things?
Yes, it's gnomes.
Yep. Oh, it's David the Gnome.
David the Gnome, that's right. Oh. The world of the David the Gnome, but good enough.
Oh, okay. Well,
we'll give you credit.
Is David the one that was the old one that Tom Bosley had the voice of? Is that the one we're talking about?
It's the one that he had, like, Swift the Fox, and all the guys, like, had the, like, really tall red hats. And
yes, okay, yeah, okay. And he had a wife, and they were older. It wasn't a young David. Yeah, okay, exactly. He had the beard and everything. Yeah, okay, I remember it.
That is actually based on a book that came out of Sweden, which was just, like, this guy, I think it was in the 1970s or 60s, who literally just wrote down all this stuff about gnomes and what they do. And then they created it into a TV show. And I was just like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Do you know what else came out of either Sweden or Norway?
Hmm.
The movie Troll Hunter, which has nothing to do with animation. But if you want a really great B-movie, that is a movie you should watch. It is subtitled, but it's funnier than anything else. Watch Troll Hunter. Sorry.
I might have to check that.
Troll Hunter is one of those I need an hour and 45 minutes of my brain turned off except for reading. That's the movie to go to.
Okay.
It's good.
For me, it's Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz. Yeah,
Hot Fuzz is great. No, this is a different level. Hot Fuzz is like A-level movie. This is a B-level movie. This is even more turning the brain
it's
off.
It's not even B.
Yeah, not even a B-level. It might be a C, but it's fun.
Okay.
Sorry.
Here's your next theme song.
Thundercats.
That's right, Thundercats. Really quick. Again, we're very literal in the 80s.
And remember, it was all about selling them toys, and you needed to know the name of them.
Exactly.
Thundercats. Here you go. I remember
Thundercats. I love the new Thundercats series.
I haven't seen that one.
Do yourself a favor and just watch it. It's wonderful.
Is it wonderful? Do they still have do they still have Snarf? Because I did like Snarf.
They had Snarf, but he didn't talk, which was wonderful.
Now, Now, did we think that they were trying to make some money off the cats? Tell the cats a play on Broadway? Is that their theme? No, never mind.
With Thundercats? I think Thundercats was just, what else can we do and make it weird? Awesome. I mean, you know, we got G.I. Joe. We got, you know, you had the space people. Not space, but the ones with the bird on them. We just need a team of five. Yeah, Thunderbirds. You need a team of five animation. What hadn't been? Oh, cats. Okay. There we go.
All right, here's your next one.
Tailspin.
Tailspin. That's right.
Whoa, you get points. I had no idea.
And with 5 points, you win.
Yay, wow. Carrie wins.
5-2.
Yay.
For bonus points.
Carrie, you know those 80s cartoons, man. You get points.
For bonus points, what's this one?
Oh, yeah.
Goof Troop. All right.
I love Goofy and Max. I grew up as a kid that was a single parent from a single parent home. Mm-hmm. And watching Goof Troop just made me feel so relieved that I could be normal because I didn't have another parent.
You know, and I think you bring that up. You got to start thinking about some of the cartoons did have a little bit. There was something that while they were selling toys, mm-hmm. they were trying to do. I mean, you know, I got to think Goof Troop was one of them. You know, some others are that way. And I just had one in my head and then well, you know, he's not the greatest guy right now, but the Fat Albert. Yeah. You see people. Yeah. He's not the greatest guy right now, but there's some things there. I mean, so, you know, cartoons have been some things for change. And then you have things like Archer where you're just like, I don't know what you're going to do next, but okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if anybody got their loot crate today, I have an Archer shirt, which is Sterling Archer for president, which is just a terrible, terrible idea. But
could it be any worse? I don't know. We're trying not
to get into politics, but it's the tagline of this is really kind of hysterical because it is, do you want a president? Because that's how you get a president, and it's a danger zone president 2016. So this is rather hysterical.
That's awesome.
So that's in your loot crate for those people looking for one very soon. Mm. There you go.
And for those of you wondering, according to this one reviewer, this is the top 20. This is the number one cartoon theme song from the 80s and 90s. Here we go.
Okay.
Lasers, aeroplanes, it's DuckTales.
Yeah.
That's DuckTales. Yep. I know DuckTales. See, I'd go really with Muppet Babies because Muppet Babies kind of brought that little bit of a jazz, papa dooey wop, you know, a little doo wop in it.
Yeah.
I like the little doo wop of Muppet Babies.
Well, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the ones that for me, I love the ones that didn't have words to them. Like, maybe I was just like this bougie kid, but I.
You know,
I loved I was the only girl in most of my classes that actually knew what Batman was and knew the Batman the Animated Series like theme song. Like I could hum that and the boys would look at me like, oh my god, you have three heads, how in the world do you know about Batman? And then I'd pull Batman
that's a boy thing.
Well, and I tell you, the Batman and the Superman, because they were right out at the same time, and they were such different stylistically, but they were both of them so darned awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
I loved them both. I loved all the voices in them, because it was Tim Daly, Superman, and such amazing voices.
So well done.
All right, Carrie. So, again, where is your room located so people can find you?
The animation track is located in the Dunwoody room in the, is it the Hyatt or the Hyatt?
Hyatt. Hyatt. Yeah, just Hyatt.
Okay. Hyatt. That's where we are. And I believe that Leah was right that we were around in the basement level of the Hyatt. We're a small room, but you know what? We have fun. So I'm excited.
And the only way to ever get a bigger room is people coming to the panels. So exactly. Just FYI, people.
So please come to the panel.
Trust me. I started over in the Hyatt, and they had to move me to the Marriott because I needed more space.
Remind me which like, I'm so new to this. Which one are you part of?
I am X-Track and Paranormal, and okay. So I'm out over at the Sheraton.
Oh, cool. Okay,
I'm the little bit of a hike, but you get to go see the day ball or the moon.
Ooh.
I know, and fresh yeah, air.
Because really what you want to do in Atlanta in September no. is step outside.
Well, there's fresh air, kind of, because it's downtown.
It is downtown. It's
downtown, so you'll get very the between, air with the hint of sewer. On.
Yeah, between well, the dumpsters, they're
But if you go out the if you go through all the way over to the Hilton,
mm-hmm.
out the Hilton side entrance, there's not a lot of sewage smell that way.
And then climb over the dead bodies.
It really is right behind the Marriott, right behind the because it was just there, right behind the Hyatt, is the one where you go, oof, oof. But the Marriott and the Hilton, much better. So,
yeah. Okay. Okay, that's good to know. I'll have to remember that.
Good to know when you're walking around Atlanta. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Carrie. How can people get a hold of you if they need to get a hold of you from email perspective from DragonCon's email?
They can contact me at animation@dragoncon.org.
Okay.
And
do you guys have a Twitter or anything?
At the moment, we don't have a Twitter. I am working on a Tumblr page that we are going to use as our website, which will include next. Like, again, I was just thrown into this, so this is all new.
That's good.
But we will hopefully be, making announcements with guests there and posting cool animated bits and talking about, what it's like to be an animator. So you can also, once that's up, I will definitely, ring it from the airways. If people want to get a hold of me on Twitter, they can at Mermaid Shells on Twitter.
Mermaid Shells what?
At Mermaid Shells, all one word.
Oh, at Mermaid Shells. Okay.
Mm-hmm. At Mermaid Shells.
Wow. That's where you can grab me.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, right. Thanks.
So, again, thank you for taking time out of your, since you were just thrown into this, what is it, inevitably really busy for you, day. And, appreciate you taking time to volunteer and, stepping up and heading up the animation track. Really appreciate that.
Oh, dude, anything to bring my animators some fun and clout and give them some shine because, man, they need it.
They're so cool, but yes, they do need it.
Yeah, they do need it. More people need to see how cool they are.
There you go.
All right, so until next time, this is John for Carrie and Lee saying peace.
Thank you.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.